الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وأصحاب سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الحمد لله with the mercy and blessings of Allah تبارك وتعالى, we are here in our weekly third hadith, and we are going to learn two or three more hadith from Mishkat. The first hadith, this is hadith number 11 in Mishkat al-Masabih. An Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى صلاتنا واستقبل قبلتنا وأكل ذبيحتنا فذلك المسلم الذي له ذمة الله وذمة رسوله فلا تغفر الله في ذمتي. رواه البخاري. This is a very famous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and it's about one of the usul or principles of Islamic Sharia and Islamic law. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a very famous sahabi and sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He said that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that man salla salatana, that whosoever prays, performs the prayers like us, like the Muslims perform the prayer facing towards Qibla. So anyone who is performing the prayer facing towards Qibla, the Kaaba, and prayer and facing towards Qibla, wastaqbala qiblatana wa akala dhabihatana, and he is eating our dhabiha, the slaughter. When we eat anything, so we slaughter animal and we say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and then we eat it. So that is called dhabiha. So that's why we say halal. So actually the animal itself is halal, like goat, sheep is halal. But it is not allowed to eat until it is dhabiha. If it is maita, like it's dead, the goat or sheep is dead, and then you cannot eat it. So we can eat only when it is dhabiha. Dhabiha means slaughtering. So when it is slaughtered properly and mentioned the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, then it is allowed to eat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is performing the prayer like us, and the one who is facing towards the Qibla, and the one who is eating the dhabiha, so he is Muslim. So that time, to determine that who is Muslim and who is non-Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you see these signs, because the real iman is in your heart, and nobody can test that, somebody can, or some imam can tell you that you are a true believer or not. But the signs, the symbols, are your demonstration, which can clear that you are going this direction. As Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِالسَّرَاهِرِ, that we decide what we see, the outcome. And what is in heart, it is in the control of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah knows the best what is in the heart of someone. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is a general instruction, that anyone who is performing prayer like us, and the one who is facing towards Qibla, the one who is eating dhabiha, and he's saying he's Muslim, so that is a Muslim. Which Muslim? الذي له ذمة الله وذمة رسوله. He is in the zimma of Allah and zimma of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is in the contract or agreement of Allah and contract and agreement of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? That means as long as he is living in a country, he is protected by Islam and the Prophet of Islam and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this means that person is a Muslim and he is under protection. They are not eating zabiha, but the Muslims, they are eating zabiha. So that means these are the people who are under the protection of Islamic State and Islamic law. Not respect, we should not give them any trouble. فَلَا تُخْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي ذِمَّتِهِ. So you should not be dishonest. Dishonesty are giving them any trouble or any hard time or anything. Because the person, if he is showing or he is behaving like he is a Muslim, so you have no authority that you are saying, no, from your heart, from your depth, you are not Muslim. No. It's between him and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if this is a general instruction that anybody who is claiming is Muslim, we consider him as a Muslim and we should consider him as a Muslim. But if we see something which is totally against Islam or which is totally against the basic principles, usul of Sharia, then the decision or the hukum is different. Like Qadianis or Ahmadis, they are saying they are Muslim, but they are believing that Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he was also a prophet after Prophet Muhammad. So if somebody is, these are known zaruriyat of deen, the necessities of deen, the basics of the religion, the foundation of religion. So if anybody is changing those principles, then that person would not be declared as a Muslim. There are many people that are saying they are Muslim. Like someone is saying he is Muslim and he is denying the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So without hadith, how we can understand Quran? How we can understand the teachings of Quran? How we can get the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So that's why this is very important. Or somebody saying that he is a Muslim, but he is saying this Quran is changed, or he is not believing in the Quran. So if he is denying Quran, that means there is no foundation, there is no base of his faith. So this is much more important, that in general, as long as somebody is saying he is Muslim, and we do not see anything which is totally against Islam. So if we see something totally against Islam, then there would be hukm of kufr. Otherwise, we will, and this is another thing in between the fuqaha or mufti of Islam, when they are discussing any issue or they find any thing, and they said even in Sheikh Hanafi, that they said if there is 99 things which are take that person is kafir, and the one thing is going towards the person is Muslim, so we will still make a tawakkuf and we will say no, he's Muslim. So they would utmost, or they would do their best to make a ta'wil, that oh, if he said this, this means this, and then he tried to avoid to issue the fatwa of kufr. But if the person is alive and he's been reminded one time, two time, over and over, and still he is knowing that this is kufr, and he is insisting on kufr, and he's still denying, so then the fatwa of kufr, or the decision of kufr, would be applicable to that person. So now you get the point. So this hadith is talking in general that as long as somebody is saying Muslim, and there is another hadith, the Muslims, they were fighting, and there was a kafir, and Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, who is a very strong, young man, and he was very beloved of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when in the battlefield, the kafir, he had seen that, oh, now he is surrounded from all sides. So he knew that he cannot run now. So he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad rasuluhu wa rasuluhu. So he starts saying that he is a Muslim. So the Harvey, he thought that no, he is, because he's scared now and he wants to protect his life, and that's why he's saying the Shahada. So he's not Muslim from heart, and that's why he killed him. And then he killed him, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was totally upset. He didn't like it. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him over and over that, had you opened his heart and you had seen it from the depth of his heart that he was a true Muslim or not? He's saying by tongue or by heart? Have you tested? Did you check it? That, and he said, otherwise Sahaba always said that Prophet, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking, we wish that he continues to speak and we listen and we get blessing. So that day they were saying that, we were wishing that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stop saying these words. He was repeating these words over and over and over. No, it's hadith in Bukhari. And some of the versions said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if on the day of judgment that person would come, so what would be your answer? So what we learned here, that we do not know what is in the heart, what is in the depth of someone. Right? So if somebody is saying that he is a Muslim, so we should admit that the person is Muslim. Right? But unfortunately, this is the custom now, when especially after when we are looking that Muslim, they are losing the grip and they are going towards the humiliation every day. So we see that anyone is differing in any issue, in fiqh or anything, oh, because you differ from me, you can make it kafir. So this is very dangerous thing. To say someone, to declare someone that you are kafir, you are Muslim, is a very serious thing. And this only fuqaha are ulama who has firm knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, or ilmul kalam, they have authority to decide something that this is kufr or this is not. Minor thing, like somebody is dead and you're reading Quran, you can say, okay, this is not good, or I don't agree with you. Or you did this, you are out of Islam. I don't know. I mean, how much you are extremist becoming, that like in tiny thing, minor thing, somebody is doing this, and you are saying this. I was reading in Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in his book, I think, Kitab al-Ruh, that he said that there was a person who passed away, and we went in Janaza, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was also with us, and he said, when we buried him and we were coming back, so one person, he stopped there and he was reciting some surah from Quran. So Imam Ahmad said, don't do it, stop it. Person is stopped. And then another sheikh who was accompanied by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, so he spoke to him and he said, Sheikh, what do you say about so and so muhaddith? Did you have any hadith from that person? He said, yes, I heard, and he is a thiqah. He is authentic muhaddith. So he said, I heard this from that muhaddith, and he said, there is a one sahabi who told, when I die, so you have to read this surah next to my grave. So Imam Ahmad, when he heard it, you see their humbleness, how quickly they were accepting the truth. He didn't say, oh, what I said is 100% perfect, and I'm not going to make ruju, I'm not going to change my fatwa. All of a sudden he said, go and send someone and tell him, go and read Quran. That's okay. So this is the attitude of our ulama, our great leaders. Whenever they heard any dalil, any proof, so without, they accept it. But unfortunately, this is a new custom that people, whenever they see anything which is, there might be many things in disagreement, you don't like this, or your fiqh, or your understanding, or your interpretation might be different. But you should have some tolerance. Why you are, you might say this is not good, this is jais wala, Najais or Yajuz or Lamayajuz, this is permitted, not directly saying, because you did this, out of Islam.
Possibly.
Right? Not scholars, it's everybody is scholar. Yeah. So it's very dangerous. Like somebody is in Maulid in Nabi. Yeah, there is difference between ulama, their opinion, their fatwa. But yet, I never heard any Sikha alim ever said is the person is out of Islam or mushrik or kafir. But the people who are up there, oh, because now you are out of Islam. I am only Muslim, you are not. And Allah will not forgive you. And there's hadith in Sihai Sittah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when somebody is fearing that by Allah, Allah would not forgive that person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is unhappy with these words. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks with angels. Why this person is fearing that I will never forgive that person? Be witness, I have forgiven that person, but I would not forgive this person who dared to say that I will not forgive this person. So this is very serious and this is very dangerous. So in this hadith, what we're learning, hadith of Bukhari, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that man salla salatana wa staqbala qiblatana wa akala zabihatana فذلك الذي له ذمة الله وذمة رسوله فلا تخسر الله في ذمته. The person is saying is Muslim, he's performing the prayer, he's facing towards Qibla, and he is eating the Sabiha, and he is not doing anything which is against the teachings of Islam. So as long as he is proclaiming, you have to respect that, and you have to accept him as a Muslim. Like the, in Shahada of Ruyat, of moon sighting. So when anybody came, the Prophet ﷺ just asked that, do you take Shahada? You bear witness about Deen? And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It's called in fiqh, Masturul Hal. Any person who comes Masturul Hal, that his deeds and his, that he is very religious or not, it's Masturul Hal. When the person came and he's saying he's Muslim and he had seen the moon, this, whatever the requirement, the Prophet accepted the Shahad. Right? So this hadith is telling that we should have tolerance and we should regard other Muslims as a Muslim as long as there is nothing which is against the teachings of Quran and the Sunnah. So he is in Zimma means Ahd. Zimma means the Misaq. Zimma means the protection, the agreement, and also means the protection. So that person is under the protection of Islamic law. He is in the protection of Allah, in the protection of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he should be honored, he should be respected, and he should be given respect. But the other person, like the not take these words against them, or that means only the Muslims in Islamic countries, they are protected. No. Even the non-Muslims who are paying the tax, the jizya, and those who are not violent, are those who are not challenging the principles of Islam openly, they are also protected by the Muslims. And someone can say that, oh, why they are not paying tax, they are paying tax? No, the Muslims, they are paying zakat. And the non-Muslims, they are not paying zakat. Right? So you are not saying that we are unjust. And the second thing, if for some reason the non-Muslims or other country, they attack on that country, so then Islamic country, the Islamic Amadi are the king, he would the Muslim army. So none of these non-Muslims who are living in Islamic country, they would not be told that you also come and fight with us and protect your homeland. No. So this text is the return of that we would provide you the protection and shelter and peace. Together? So only the Muslim, like other country came and now who would fight? Only the Muslim. So we are not going to ask the non-Muslim who are living in Islamic countries, okay, go and fight with them. No, because you were paying the tax, so this is, in return you are getting that we will give our life and we will protect your life. Right? So this is the Islamic law and Islamic teaching, those who are living in Islamic countries. Right? So the minorities are Aqliya, those who are in minorities, they also have rights in Islamic law. Next of these is Anabi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an qala ata'a arabi النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال دلني على عمل إذا عملت دخلت الجنة قال تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤدي الزكاة المفروضة وتصوم رمضان قال والذي نفسي بيده لا أزيد على هذا شيئا ولا أنقص منه فلما ولى قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره أن ينظر إلى رجل من أهل الجنة فلينظر إلى هذا متفق عليه. So these in Bukhari and Muslim is a very important hadith that Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said a person came, a Arabi. Arabi means the Bedouin, the person who comes from village, mostly uneducated people. So the Arabi came and he said, O Allah's messenger, tell me something, advise me something which will take me to Jannah. I want to enter heaven. I want Jannah, paradise. So what I should do that I can go to Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing, قَالَ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and you don't associate anyone besides Allah. So worshipping Allah, and this is the ruriyat of the prayer, perform the prayer. But to add this zakat al mafruda, and you give the zakat which is obligation. Paying zakat every year, if you have that much wealth, so you have to pay the zakat. وَتَصُومَ رَمَضَانَ, and you fast in the month of Ramadan. And now Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned here four things: iman, salah, the prayer, zakah, and sawm, fasting. But he didn't mention here in this hadith about the hajj. So the ulama and muhaddithin, they have many answers for that. They said it might be that time hajj was not an obligation. Hajj was made obligatory in 9th year of Hijrah. And the second answer what ulama had given, they said because Hajj is not obligatory on every person, and that person was Arabi, and it might be, it seems that he might have some disability, that's why Hajj is not an obligation upon him. So this is the answer. So Prophet mentioned these four things. So now that person, when he heard, you see the person who live in a village, they are very straightforward. So when he heard this, and now directly he is saying that وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا شَيْئًا وَلَا أَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ. Because I'm not going to increase anything and I'm not going to decrease anything. What you told me, that's it. Like especially old people are those people who live in village, that's the way they said, you told me this, that's it, I'm not going to increase anything, that's it. So I will follow these things, not going to do anything more or anything less, that's it. So then he turned back and he left. So for قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره أن ينظر إلى رجل من أهل الجنة فلينظر إلى هذا. If you want anyone who is Jannati, who will go to the Jannah, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his qualities is Mubashir, and the Mubashir is the one who gives the Bishara, the glad tidings. Inna arsalnaka ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira. So Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Mubashir. one who gives the bishara. And here Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if you want to see someone who is walking on this earth, but he is from Jannah, he will go to the heaven, paradise, so you can see this person. So what we can learn in this hadith, that importance of the pillars of Islam, that this is the minimum requirement. It doesn't mean that, okay, only I am doing these. This is something which is the minimum, which is every Muslim has to do. This hadith mentioned by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, a very authentic one. Third hadith is also related to the same. Inshallah, 9 o'clock. Yes, that's true. That is actually another one that Arabi came and he said, go to the Jannah. He is accepted. Right. So there are other hadiths, and there is another hadith which is similar to what we I just mentioned. There is another one, and that that's coming in the next term. Yeah. Aflaha al-Rajulu in Sadaq. It's also mentioned by Bukhari and Muslim, and also it's almost the same wording, right? So here it's a small hadith, and then inshallah we conclude. An Sufyan ibn Abdullah Safi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala qultu ya Rasulullah qul li fil Islam qawlan la as'alu an hadan ba'daka wa fi riwayatin ghayraka qala qul amantu billah ثم استقيم. That Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, he said that I asked Allah's Messenger that tell me something that after you I should not ask that question again from anyone else. Give me the answer that then I would never ask anyone. So you can give me some advice about Islam. So teach me or tell me something about Islam that I should not have to ask anyone else after you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qul amantu billah thumma istaqim." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You say, I believe in Allah, I am mu'min, and then you have istiqamah, steadfast." Because this is very important, that if you have iman and you are having istiqamah, because then shaitan would do or try his best to flip you, to take you away from your iman, right? So, but you, when you say that you are mu'min, yes. Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. So Allah is mentioning in Quran that those who said our Rabb is Allah, and then they have istiqamah. Istiqamah means continuously you are believing and you are protecting your iman. It's not 10 days or once in a year. In Ramadan you are protecting your iman, you are praying and you are doing all good deeds, and you left for 11 months, and then again Ramadan come. Or in your childhood you practicing Islam, and now you are young, and now you can do all what you want to do, and you put the folder of Islam on a side, and then you get involved in other things, and now you get old, and now you again open the folder, and now continue. Ya ayyuha allatheena aamanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Die not but in the state of Islam. Ya ayyuha allatheena aamanu udkhulu fi as-silmi kaffa. Those who are saying that we are mu'min, enter Islam wholeheartedly, completely. Right? So this hadith is a very small hadith, but this hadith is telling that istiqamah, and that many shuyukh like Imam Ghazali and Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Junaid Baghdadi, all great scholars, they said, Al istiqamatu khayrun min alfi karama. One istiqamat is better than 1,000 miracles or karamat. Rendered. Why? Because you are doing some good things. You are eating halal, you are earning halal, and you are performing the prayer, you are fasting, you make dua, your dua is accepted. You are mustajabul da'wat. This is karama. But if you, after a few days or few months, you miss something, you are not eating halal, you are not careful about your deen, so now you can lose again that karama. But istiqama, one istiqama is better than 1,000 karama. Why? Because what you have, you are continuously worshipping, worshipping, worshipping. That's why great Muhaddis Mullah Ali Qari, Ali bin Sultan Rahimahullah, who is the sharikh of many hadith books called the Mishkat, he said, he mentioned, I think in Mirqat, the Sharaf Mishkat, so he mentioned about the previous ummah, there was a person who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70 years. 70, like entire life. So Allah said to angels, go and tell him that I did not accept his worship. Rejected. So the angels, they came and they said, you know, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your 70 years worship is rejected. Rejected. So he said, rejected or accepted, this is not my job. This is due to Allah's mercy. If he accepted or he rejected, our duty is to worship. Because there is no other door where I can go. So I would continue whether he accepted or he rejected. So when the angels, they went back, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them. So angels said that, oh Allah, you know what he said. So Allah said, if he is not doing i'raj, لَمْ نُعْرِضْ عَنَّا. Irad means you turn back. If he is not turning back, he is not leaving us, so why should we leave him? So be witness, I have forgiven him. So the istiqamat is very important. Istiqamat, continuity. And you see, if you see any person who is successful in his life, even including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he propagated, how he preached, how he projected his mission, because of constant istiqamah in Makkah, in Medina. So constantly he is sincere with his mission. And we had seen those who were taking their swords to kill him. Time came, their swords were to protect him. The same people, those who were wishing to kill him, and the time came, now same people are giving their lives to protect him. Why? Because of his istiqamah. Right. So that's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want to know something, qala qul amantu billah thumma istiqam. Iman with Allah is strong enough, is solid, is undoubted. Person is successful. And nowadays, when we see this is the time of fitna, it's not only people are taking Muslims away from religion, it's a huge campaign. There are all kind of people away from their religion, whether it's Christian, it's Yahudi, it's Jew, or it's Hindu. Because their ideology is that as long as people are connected with religion, they believe somehow in God, so they have to take people away from God. Right? So that's why our guest speaker was here, and I think he also said these words, and he said it in the conference, that he said, you are here in this country, have a good life, best life, earn as much as you can. And he said, get all sort of comfort or whatever ni'mah and blessings you can enjoy here. But he said, not at the cost of your deen, not at the cost of your religion, not at the cost of your faith, your belief. If you give your faith, your belief, Even if you get the kingdom of whole world, whole universe, you become the king of whole universe. But your iman is taken away, you are loser. Or on other end, you don't have the luxury life, but you have iman, you are still wealthy. Because you have wealth of iman. The wealth of iman is most precious. So this hadith is telling us that we have to do struggle to protect our iman. If we buy a car, so how careful we are to protect the car. We have anti-lock and this and that and insurance and this and that. So we are scared about it. Right? So why we are not scared about the most precious thing, that is iman. So iman has a power which can protect us, which can make us successful. If our iman is strong enough, we can be successful. We can face any challenge in our life. So we have to do, and this, like when we come to perform the prayer, this is one of the way that we are protecting our iman. In coming to perform Juma, this is the struggle that we are trying to protect our iman. We are coming in Darse Hadith, it's one of the way that we are trying to protect our iman. Right? So we should not leave this struggle that we have, that we have istiqamah, and we are going to protect our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we protect our iman, we save our iman, and then we die with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us intercession and shafa'at of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Any question? Ya Allah. No question? Yes, ta'amu ahlil kitab, that the first thing is the word ta'amu ahlil kitab. So ta'am means not only meat or animals, ta'am means the general food. So the general food like the yogurt and rice and this and that, yeah, that's okay. If you want to take it towards the animal, so then, yes, of course, it's allowed, but only if they are doing zabiha. Like, if a Muslim is not doing zabiha, Muslim, and he has animal, is without zabiha, it's dead or it's killed, and he's saying, eat it. So if Muslim is not doing zabiha, we're not going to eat. If Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, if they, we are sure 100% that they did zabiha, then that is good, and we can eat it. We not have to eat it. We are permitted to eat it if we want. That's the case. Yes. If you are sure that Ahlul Kitab, they made it zabiha and they slaughtered as it should be, then we can eat it. Yes. No, they don't say that. No, that is their faith. Even, yeah, this is some people confused that these Ahlul Kitab are not Ahlul Kitab, they are mushrikeen. No. These Ahlul Kitab were having same Akidah on that time. The people were saying Isa bin Maryam or Isa son of God, right? As they were saying Jesus son of God. So this is not the issue. But Quran still giving them respect somehow. They are believing in the book. They are believing in God. They are believing in the life hereafter. So that's why the Quran used this term Ahlul Kitab. So still they are considered as Ahlul Kitab. You can ask them what is their procedure, where they buy them. So that's the thing. Before we issue the fatwa, we have to know, or we have to get something in writing, what they are doing here, or they have something like machine, or it's cutting, and they put the tape, and as you know, many other, so then it's done. now. I mean, they are mushrikeen, but in general terms, they are known as Ahl al-Kitab. The women, if the female who belong to any religion like Ahl al-Kitab, so it's permitted, but it's not like there are some other restrictions. Muhsanat, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there are some restrictions. If they are clean, pure, good character, even then that is permitted. Why? Because especially if they are living in Islamic country, but if they are living in non-Islamic country or they have some other thing, so then it's not encouraged in Islam. But Islam has a solution to settle or to accommodate the other people into its territory. Because they, one of the things that is permitted, but in the special circumstances, the condition that if the woman is neat, clean, have a good character, I mean there should be some beauty, right? And it's not by name saying is Christian or Jew, it's believing in God. In that sense, and you and me might revert or convert. But it should not be vice versa, like you can say that the Muslim girl is marrying with the non-Muslim. This is another issue people are creating on TV channels today. And they're saying that if the Muslim boy can marry the girl of Ahl al-Kitab, so why not a Muslim girl can marry with Ahl al-Kitab boy? But this is not permitted, nor in Hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because mostly, the husband's impact or impression is more affect women in general. It's not the formula, like 100% that you bring your own example and then beat me up. That's it? Yeah. It's better that we should use the other one or clean it one time. If you rub it on the floor or you just wash it, that's okay.
Try our best to keep ourselves away.
because one of the most effective things or dangerous things is company. If you are in company of bad people, definitely they will spoil you. And if you are sitting with Qadianis or these people who are enemies of Islam, so they would definitely spoil you and they would give you different. Other day there was a guy and he didn't say that he's Qadiani. And that's the thing. They are very tricky. They would never tell you they are Qadiani. And the brother, he called me, he's a cab driver. He said, Imam Sahib, we have a trouble. This guy is giving us a hard time. I said, okay, put him in on line. So we were four or five people. And he was from Albany. So he said, what we say, I don't understand why we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. So he said ala Ibrahim, so like blessings like Ibrahim. So and then I said, what you want to say? He said, why we say blessing, oh Allah give blessing to all of Muhammad, the progeny of Muhammad. So I said, go ahead, what you want to say, right? He said because like the blessings like you gave to Ibrahim, and Ibrahim is Abul Anbiya. So if in the progeny of Ibrahim, there are so many prophets. So you are saying that Muhammad is the best prophet. So why in the progeny of Muhammad, or the all of Muhammad, there is no Nabi? And I say, hold on. First, he's saying he is Abul Anbiya. I said, tell me in Quran, where is Quran said that Ibrahim is Abul Anbiya? When you are going debate, then you are not defending. You have to catch the person. I said, tell me where it's written in Quran that Ibrahim is Abul Anbiya. And second thing, tell me that how you are saying that all the prophets are the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? Tell me that how many prophets were in the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail and Ishaq, both are their sons, right? So I said, tell me that how many prophets were in their progeny, in their children. So then he had no answer. I said, you have to tell me that first thing, Allah is not saying he is talking about the woman. When he said Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Muhammad is Khatam al-Nabiyyin. But they were trying to play the game then. I said, okay, hold on. If you are saying this, right, and I am saying all of Muhammad means, there's different meanings. All of Muhammad means the children of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said, this is a miracle. That any city of the world you go, you would see some Sayyid al-Ashraf. They are the progeny of Muhammad. That's the barakah means. Where you are bringing that, it means the Nabuwwat or Nabi. And if you are saying it's Nabi, so then you have to prove some more. In 14th century, why there is only one English Nabi? Qadiani. Huh? Why there is only one? You know? So that's why they are very tricky. So once you are sitting with them, so they are going to confuse them. And then he's saying, there is ayat in Quran, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. He's saying, if you follow Allah and His Rasul, then you will be Nabi. You see here? It's tahrim. I say, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Where are you bringing? It's not مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Quran is not saying مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. That if you obey Allah and you obey Rasul, Nabi, Siddiq, Shaheed and Salih. And now he's saying, well, that means after Prophet there is no Shaheed, there is no Siddiq, there is no Salih. I say, hold on, you are going so fast. This ayat is Minan Nabiyeen or Ma'an Nabiyeen. The Quran is saying Ma'an Nabiyeen. So he's saying, the word used here, if we obey Allah and His Rasul, so then we will be Urdu mein kya dum challa, hum in nek logon ke dum challa honge. That means we will be dependent of these four categories. I said, yes, of course. This is the minimum instruction for the people. If you want to be amongst the Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin, then you have to put more effort, you know. There is itta'at and there is ittiba. Okay? Right? No. It's there. But he's talking to me and he's giving this belief. And he, when he's translating, so he's saying that he person would be Nabi. Like he's saying, if you are very religious, if you are some, then you are Salih or Shaheed. Or if you put more efforts than Siddiq. And if you follow more and you are worshipping more, then you become Nabi. So this is the difference. Nabuwat is not by earning. It's not something you will earn. Nabuwat is with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah already decided who would be the Nabi. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a true believer and Allah protect our iman. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء.